Hey everybody, it's Zach. I have a quick announcement to make this week. We are moving recording schedules to a time that's hopefully gonna let more people be on more frequently and also let us have access to some new friends and guests who couldn't be on at the old recording time. Unfortunately, what that means is that we were going to miss a week. But what we do have for you is a bonus episode hosted by our buddy Dustin about Akiba Ranger, which is a Sentai parody. It's pretty funny, it's really weird, and it was a fun bonus episode to do. If you're new to the podcast, bonus episodes typically don't go up in lieu of normal episodes. This is just a way so that we have something for you guys to listen to while we get all our shit straight. The last thing to note is I may sound a little bit different. My voice is not as nice and crisp. There's two reasons for that. One, I'm sick as hell, and two, this is a different microphone. I will be back to the normal mic and hopefully the normal not sick voice next week. So, with all that in mind, we hope you enjoy the bonus episode and look forward to getting back to our normal schedule next week. So, without further ado, here we go.
Hello and welcome to another bonus episode of Teenagers with Attitude. I am, I guess, now your regular bonus episode host. I haven't shown up on the main podcast in a while. I am Dustin, but I guess now they're going to start calling me Dusty.
Yeah, because it made me laugh. I mean, it's not like it's a bad name. It's just, it amuses me on a personal level.
Yeah, and with me today are Zach.
Hello.
Jules.
Hey.
And my fellow BakaCast host, Megan.
Yun, 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 yun.
Oh, good.
So I brought Megan on because I have actually talked about Akiba Ranger before on my aforementioned anime podcast, BakaCast, and we really liked it. I think we watched, the first three or four episodes, Megan?
It was like five.
Yeah, something like that. It was a good number of them.
And it actually just keeps getting better.
Yeah, so I thought it would be fun to have her on here, and also because I just felt that the number of hosts we had that harassed me wasn't large enough.
It never is.
Yeah, so Akiba Ranger, for the uninitiated, this is actually made by,
Toei.
Yeah, this is actually made by Toei, but it's not an official series in that it's not canon.
Or as
not,
they make the point multiple times.
Yes. In fact, the full title is Unofficial Squadron Akiba Ranger, Hikonin Sentai Akiba Ranger. And it's essentially a parody series, sort of like Airplane is a parody of disaster movies.
Or sort of like K-On! Is a parody of real life.
Oh. I wonder how many of the listeners to this will actually get that burn.
Not me, that's for goddamn sure.
That's right, I forgot I'm not on an anime podcast anymore.
Yeah, how much overlap will there be between Teenagers with Attitudes fans and, like, anime people who watch Kyoto Animation series?
This is a good mix, because we have you guys who have watched a ton of anime, and specifically this series, which, though not an anime, I mean, listen, tokusatsu and anime share a lot of similarities. We have Jules, who is a tokusatsu expert, or at least as close as I know to one. And then we have me, and I'm here to ask questions, because I don't know the fuck's going on in this.
Yeah, you're like the viewpoint character who shows up in the middle of like an alien world to be the guy's like, what's up with all those weird tentacles on your face?
Yeah, I am your Luke Skywalker here
today.
The MC
who gets killed in the first episode and like resurrected is some like fantasy bullshit and everybody gets to explain shit to him.
Yeah, you're the one who has amnesia.
Oh, I'm okay with that. That's fine. I actually don't have... It's weird because I don't watch anime, so I don't hate that trope as much as people who actually watch anime.
Oh, God.
Because I mean, don't deal with it that much, really. Does it? I mean, like, I'll see it in JRPGs every once in a while, and that's kind of it. So it doesn't really bother me.
I mean, at least the amnesia will make your childhood easier to digest.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Damn.
Well,
yo.
So yeah, I'm excited about this because I have like a fairly limited exposure to Sentai basically because of Jules. I've watched like 2.5 and then one Kamen Rider series. So like I know a little bit about it, but mostly I know Power Rangers, which as we'll get into when we talk about the show, like that kind of works. Like that'll get you your reference point. You don't really need to know the specific Sentai that are being referenced to understand all the tropes that they use.
I mean, I think most of us kind of get Power Rangers because we grew up in the 90s.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I mean. It's just that all I know is that stuff, but that's enough to understand kind of most of the gags from here. I will have many questions about what the hell some of these things mean, though, so...
Don't worry, we've got your back.
Okay, good. I'm excited.
I have... one might say I have watched too much anime.
Oh! So. Oh my god, how long have we done VodkaCast for? I mean, not counting, like, the year or so that I've been absent.
We started in the summer of... Well, we started VodkaCast Briefs, which later just became normal VodkaCast, in the summer of 2010.
Oh my god. Fuck!
So, and we actually started the series with a different format before then, so at least 6 years.
Holy shit.
Why am I so old?
We hit our, like, 6 month on TWA, or, I'm sorry, Teenagers with Attitude. I didn't mean to get all technical on you.
Let me break that acronym down for you, folks.
Parting the morph grid here for a second.
We hit our 6 month like a couple weeks ago, and I was like, "Holy shit! I can't believe we've been doing it that long." So now I have a different perspective on that, I guess.
I am a broken shell of a man.
We always like having you on because you make us seem professional. So.
I'm glad you're still broken even after I've been gone for so long. Makes me happy. I leave a lasting impression.
Yeah. All right. So on to the actual episode itself. Man, this is a fast moving show, even compared to other Sentai series.
They have to establish like the normal stuff you have to establish with Sentai, the characters and the season premise. But also they have to establish all like the jokey stuff. So it's longer than a Sentai episode normally, but I'm not sure about that. It's definitely longer than Power Rangers. It's about 25 minutes.
Yeah, so, it's probably a few minutes longer, but
so they get a couple more minutes, but they're still really packing a lot of stuff into this thing.
They have one of the Rangers before the episode even begins.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. I actually like that. I'm sure we'll talk about it, but yeah, that's a neat touch.
Yeah, so we actually start the episode with our main character, the person who will become the Red Akiba Ranger. His name is Nobuo Akagi.
And he is chosen because Aki is red, right? Like, because his name has red
Aka
in it?
Aka is red, technically.
Yeah, Aka.
Okay.
I mean, you would think that, but then the yellow chick comes along, and her name doesn't have anything to do with the color yellow.
No, but her pseudonym does.
Yeah, they totally explain that away anyway. I remember
that's
that
fair.
Part.
Yeah, so he is dramatically walking down a corridor that has, like, red emergency lights on, and he has a red jacket on that has SPD written on duct tape that's, like, stuck to the back of his jacket.
This totally fucking blew my mind because I forgot that it's also SPD in the Sentai, and I was like, wait, hold on a second. Never mind.
Yeah, Special Police Deca Ranger, and that's the Deca Ranger theme.
I immediately know that this dude has good taste in Sentai because he chooses to represent SPD as the first thing he does.
Yeah, that's. I mean, I've seen some of that, and that seems like a really good one. So, and
well, also like it's the fact that his work uniform kind of suits the actual like uniform from SPD.
Yeah, he's
well.
Wearing a red jacket and red pants, and
he's wearing dark blue pants with, you'll find out soon enough, red duct tape as stripes. And
yeah, he has stripes on it, and he is so he's giving like a speech in his head about like, I always deliver a cool speech, and he, like, God, what does he say?
It's burning hearts, running cool. Like, it's literally what SPD, like, actually says about itself as well, because it's kind of lampooning the hotshot action hero stuff.
Oh, okay, that's pretty good. And yeah, he says, I am red in his head. And then he runs into what is very clearly, like, just a normal office space, and... Yeah.
His white scarf, like...
Yeah.
Really, oh, the Ishinomori scarf. It's so good.
Yeah, I love that scarf.
Yeah, for those who don't know, Ishinomori was the creator of Kamen Rider and Super Sentai, as well as Cyborg 009, and a whole lot of other shit, and he fucking loves scarves.
Yeah,
yeah, like, I was gonna say, I always think of, like, Yamamoto when I think of scarves, because...
They're so ubiquitous that they're basically... In my mind, as someone who doesn't watch a ton of this stuff, or hasn't yet... they're the Japanese superhero cape, almost. Like,
even though, like, they also have capes as well.
Yeah, they do. But when I see that, that is shorthand for Japanese superhero.
It's more almost like the Japanese, like, domino mask in a certain way. Like, it's just different from the cape.
Yeah,
that's fair. I really want to know what the Japanese thought of Doctor Who. Like, they must have thought Tom Baker was such a badass.
Well, yeah. Doctor Who counts as tokusatsu because it's literally that. Like, it's exactly the same
fair.
Thing.
Sure.
Oh my god, Doctor Who is tokusatsu. Fuck.
The Tank Engine is technically tokusatsu.
I actually did a report on tokusatsu for one of my Japanese classes because we had to do a report on something in Japanese, and I chose that. And I was like, Stargate is considered tokusatsu.
Well, because it's fucking like.
Blowing my mind.
No offense. Like, it's not a genre, it's just a thing. Like, so yeah, you can call kind of anything that.
Yeah, it's just funny how we have a very specific idea of what tokusatsu means as a genre in Japan.
Well it's
whereas
become,
like
it's become a genre, just like how like I'm trying to think of. I guess you would say like science fiction. You think of a very specific thing, but a ton of stuff can fit in there.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't. Yeah, it makes sense. It's just it is. If you look at its actual definition, it is about as broad as you can get. So,
yeah. So Akagi runs into his workplace, which is a delivery office, basically.
Yeah.
And his coworkers are like, "What the fuck are you doing?"
God damn it!
Of course,
this
has the exact same initials as SPD.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the first thing she does is sigh and then whack him with a clipboard.
it's like this asshole.
First of all, he's like, "Where's the crime today?" And he says her name. I can't remember. And then he's like posing like an asshole and kind of mugging at the camera. And she just hits him on the back of the head with the board. And I was like, I want a show about this lady.
She is so sassy. Like, when she rips off his duct tape, like, insignia, and then just waves it in front of his face.
So she's like, what the hell is this? And he's like, Special Police Deca Ranger. And she's like, no, motherfucker. It's for... And I forget, whatever the name of their...
It's like
Sasaki Pompoko
delivery.
Yeah, there you go. And she like slaps his back and says, Sasaki Pompoko delivery. And now here's your delivery. Get the fuck out. And she rips his duct tape stripes off his pants also, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
So you actually touched on like one of my favorite things about this entire show, and especially the opening scene of it, is that the camera both exists and does not exist. Because he clearly poses for it like it's actually there. But in universe, it's obviously not actually there.
My interpretation is that he is so fucking... And, like, if you haven't figured it out, dude is obsessed with Sentai. That's his whole character.
Really? And,
yeah. Well, I'm letting the people who might not watching know.
I'm going to put it this way. This dude is... God, I would have been this dude if I had never, like, changed since high school.
Or if you didn't have any friends to be like, hey, there's other things. Like, you can still like that, but there's other things.
Hey, dude, you're acting like a douche nozzle, and we don't want you to lose the rest of your friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, I basically described, like, I said on Twitter, like, this Akagi is basically cis dude me, like, which is really scary to think about.
I mean, and it's partially just he exists to show, like, listen, this is our archetype. I don't know that, like, they necessarily are trying to... It's hard to describe my feelings on him. I'm not sure they mean him to actually be this awful of a nerd. They're just really amping it up to get over, like, yeah, this dude's whole life.
Keep in mind that in Japan, otaku is not something to be proud of.
Yeah, no.
No, I know.
No, it's not.
Yeah, I know. It's a big stigma. I'm aware of that.
Like,
but you know how
people think about bronies?
Yes, yeah.
In the Western world? Yeah. That's an otaku to the average Japanese person.
Right. So they're absolutely playing it up. It's just like they also want you to kind of, like, he's still the hero.
They want you to sympathize with him.
Yes.
Yeah. They don't want you to hate him. They just want you to pity him. Like,
yeah, I don't think it's so much that they want you to sympathize with him, but they make you want better for him.
Yeah.
Right. They make the people who watch this show go, just look in the mirror and take a good, hard, long look for a few minutes and then decide for yourself. Like,
yeah. So he gets his assignment and he gets excited because he says, oh, I get to see her today. And
he calls it the Madonna route.
Oh, yeah, if that's not a big fucking red flag.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of this dude's language, it's one of those things where, like, and I said before, I don't know a lot of the terms, but I still, even without knowing them, was like, oh man, yeah, this guy's got real problems. Yeah.
So the smile that he gives when he gets on his bike, I feel like I want to use that for the album art because it's the creepiest goddamn thing.
Pretty funny.
Please do.
It made me laugh. And she's like, she clearly has dealt with him on this before and is just like, no detours, please.
Please don't buy any fucking figurines.
And also no delusions, which they drop that pretty early.
Yes. I so want an alternate episode of this where it's just from her point of view and she's just like, can we please fire him? No, not yet. Okay,
please?
Fine.
His contract's at all fucking hell. Just please let him. Can we let him go?
It's so much easier to just let it happen and wait for the contract to end.
Oh, God.
I also find it funny that I'm pretty sure this is... Because I've mentioned it on Teenage Without It before. There's a big deal about Toei reusing a lot of their sets because they just kind of own a shitload of property to film on in Japan. The scene where he gets on the bicycle fucks me up because it's actually from... I'm pretty sure it's a small callback to the opening of Go-Go 5, which was adapted into Power Rangers Lightspeed Rescue, where one of the characters gets on a bicycle outside of this exact same fucking building.
That is a deep cut reference.
That's pretty great.
I was watching, because as I want to do, I watch Sentai openings, and I was watching and going, wait a fucking second.
That's pretty great.
That is really deep down the Sentai hole. Holy shit.
It's the same kind of bicycle as... Oh, god damn it.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, the whole thing is a bunch of references, so, like,
and
yeah.
And it's also just hard to... It's hard to not make reference even in the background because, again, it's the whole fact that they just reuse sets for decades. It's the same goddamn quarry, that fucking bridge, that creek, the beach. It's the same thing.
Yeah, totally.
Now that you say that, that just makes me appreciate something about the show even more, and that it rewards you for getting the references, but never punishes you for not getting them.
Right, that's
kind of
what
a big thing with parodies that I've noticed, mm-hmm. is sometimes they stray into the territory of, yeah, if you don't get this reference, fuck you, you're lost.
Well, they have the benefit of owning all that footage, so, like, when he says, the 27th Sentai, blah, 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 like, they can show it. You don't just have to know. So that really helps, I think. It helps me feel like I'm not as lost.
And the funny thing about that same, like, cut the same scene with the bicycle being in Lightspeed Rescue, like, it's actually an extended joke, because the next major scene happens when he's riding his bike and he stops by a hobby store and he sees a new toy he wants, which is the Hikari Sentai Maskman's DX Chogokin Lightspeed Gatai Great 5.
Yeah.
Well, it's even better because, god damn it, I also get his excitement not just because, oh, it's a Sentai toy. Maskman was a really big deal in Sentai because it was the first Sentai to not be sci-fi. It was about people using their aura to change and martial arts to change into heroes.
Oh,
and
so it was like kung fu.
Yeah, it was like, because they had kung fu before, like, but nothing, like, it was still about, oh, their cybernetic suits and stuff. No, in Maskman, like, they perform like an aura maneuver with their hands and fly through the sky to change mystically into Maskman. But also the fact is that Maskman was the first Sentai to have the combiner robot. Huh. Every other Sentai before that just had a big one-piece robot.
Oh, that's cool. All right.
Yeah, in Maskman, it was the first one where each ranger had their own robot, which combined into a big robot.
Didn't Voltron come before that, though? Didn't Voltron come before that, though?
No, but like in terms of just Sentai. Like.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, like, when this dude got excited, I got excited too, and then I had to stop myself.
Yeah, and then he mentions something, like, incredibly nerdy, which he looks it over, and he says, with the stickers never applied and no discoloring of the ABS plastic, its price is 100,800 yen.
Which, for the uninitiated, is like $1,000.
Yeah,
I was going to say, I was pretty sure that my math was...
It's just over $1,000.
Yeah, that's nuts. And also, I love that...
What the hell is ABS plastic? Do any of you have... Any idea?
Yes, actually. ABS plastic is the same stuff that Lego are made of, which is actually typically a very high quality and hard plastic that doesn't deform over time and is resistant to heat.
Cool. So that's fun because it goes back to what we said about, like, I don't know what ABS plastic, well, I do now, but I didn't. But you still get that, like, oh, right. He's a huge fucking nerd. Yeah, like, you don't have to know what ABS plastic is to know that he's going way overboard.
And he's gonna just straight up impulse buy this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, $1,000. And he's just like, yeah, I'll drop that today.
Yeah.
I might have as well.
Before he's saved by anime.
Yes.
Before he feels the call of the moe.
Yeah. So he walks into this store to go buy it, his credit card already out of his wallet and in hand before he even gets through the goddamn door. And he sees this huge display with a moe girl who is also a gun.
Yeah, her name is Aoi, A-O-I-T-N.
Yeah, Aitan.
And there's a big cardboard stand-up of this character who begins speaking to him and telling him that he cannot buy the toy because he has to save his money to buy a hug pillow with her on it. And I was like... Oh, Jesus Christ.
Dude, when your waifu actually starts talking to you, it's time to take a step back.
I love the animation that they do on the cardboard standout.
Yes, yeah, it's actually more than I thought. I thought it would just talk, but they actually animate it. Yeah,
they would, like, lip flaps and eye movement. It's pretty great.
And also, then you get a little more backstory because he says, Akagi Nobuo, at 29 years old, am disgustingly moe over Aoi Tan. So he's 29, and he is, yeah.
I'm turning 25 tomorrow. I feel for this dude to some extent.
I mean, I'm 29, and I host a podcast about Power Rangers, so I'm not, like, lording over him or anything, but, like... Keep it together, dude. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You know what I really loved about this scene? Because, I mean, we talked about how otaku are not looked upon favorably in Japan. So let's think about this. Let's imagine that he's imagining this moe character talking to him. And she literally shames him for being interested in Sentai.
Yeah, he's, like, his literal fantasy makes fun of him. That's pretty rough.
And she even gives this judgmental look that I swear was perfected by a Jewish grandmother and handed down to her.
Oh,
and she
man.
Just looks at him and says, Really? You'd rather have that instead of me?
Yeah.
When something that is as bottom of the social barrel as otaku stuff is in Japan thinks that you're just a pathetic fucking sack. Where have you really fallen to? And yeah. Is there any lower you can go?
It's not good. So he says, well, I'm glad I could at last meet you talking to the toy.
yeah.
And then allow me to... I'm sorry, that's not fair. It is a model. Like, it's...
But... No, it's a toy. No, don't just wait. They're literally toys, Zach. It's like, toys.
It's not a comic book. It's a graphic novel.
No, yeah. See, like, Gunpla kits are models. You build models. Like, even... I can even understand, like, SH Figuarts figurines, which are posable but still plastic. They're kind of models. But this is a fucking toy. It's okay, what it is.
Enough. I mean, if you want to be technical, it does have, like, 8 pieces.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Kind of put it
does
together.
Need to combine, yes, that's true.
So then he does a weird dance. Like, I don't know. Does this have a generic term in Tokusatsu, just opposing, but not just oppose? Like, I don't know what to call it. Like, you do motions and then pose.
He basically does like a Ginyu Force thing.
Yeah.
No, because it's from Sentai itself. It's just the pose itself, especially like, I don't know if there's a name. It's just posing, but accompanied with sound effects, sometimes ones you make yourself.
Right.
I think the motion is part of the pose itself.
I mean, okay, fair enough. there was a one, because Sentai even knows this itself, like, even within Sentai, not even in this show as a parody show, they did because after every Sentai series, a year later, they do, like, a returns movie for all the casts, and basically bring them back for basically an extra episode, which is movie length. And for GoBusters, the one you watch, Zach, since so many people complained that wasn't what they wanted in terms of they wanted, like, more 70s action, colorful Super Sentai, and GoBusters was not that, they enter an alternate reality where the GoBusters are like that, and everything yes. is, like, taken to this degree to the point where the Red Ranger, like, when he's just responding with, really? Is that the case? He, like, does 5 poses accompanied with sound effects. Like,
that sounds incredible. Yeah.
Like, yeah. Like, basically when the commander tells him, like, you know, there's something afoot, you know, there's a new invasion, he throws arms to the side. Is that the case, commander? Throws arms back to the other side. We must report. Like, shoots hand in the air and, like, pushes up fake gloss and slicks back his hair. Like, they know what they're fucking doing.
Yeah, it's pretty great. They seem to know when to, like, how to make fun of themselves very well. Yeah. So...
I feel a little bit of comfort in knowing that Super Sentai has dovetailed and kind of, well, not really dovetailed, but horseshoed back into itself to the point that it's as self-referential as anime has become.
Oh, yeah, well, totally. Like, yeah.
Gokaiger, the 35th anniversary, the Pirate Sentai, the Sixth Ranger is basically Akagi. Like, he's a fan of Sentai, and he becomes a Sixth Ranger.
And he wants to collect all the Ranger powers. It's totally a...
And he's got an autograph book for all of them when he meets them.
That's adorable.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give away too many spoilers, but in later episodes of Akiba Ranger, you find out that the main character actually does have an autograph book of his own.
Yeah, because later he meets some of the Sentai.
Yeah, there are cameos actors, right? In this show.
Yeah, he meets one of the actors for... I forget which Red Ranger it was.
I think he meets multiple Red Rangers.
Meet multiple ones, yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. So he does a pose, and he says, well, it's time for me to leave onto my unstoppable machine. And then he runs away past his bike by accident and has to come back to his bike.
He doesn't just run past his bike. He pulls his arm up as if he's, like, drawing a pretend cape across himself and then starts running.
So here's the first of a series of questions I'm going to ask you guys, not knowing anything about anime and very little about Sentai, and please don't make fun of me. Why in anime and tokusatsu do people sometimes run with their hands either behind them or in this specific pose, even if they don't have a cape or anything like that?
It looks cool.
It looks
cool. Is that it?
Yeah, it looks cool, and partly it's also... the hands behind, the arms like full behind back thing is from Naruto because that was based on ninjas doing that.
It's actually not from Naruto. It goes much, much earlier. Though I'm not sure exactly how early.
I just know a lot of people who do it because of Naruto. That's all.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Speak from personal experience in that holding your hands behind your back as you're running down a hill actually does help balance you. But unless
sure,
you're on
yeah,
a hill, you look like a fucking idiot.
Yeah. Yeah. I mostly ask because specifically in I've been watching like bits and pieces of other Power Rangers shows while we're doing Mighty Morphin. And in A Lost Galaxy, the one that's focused on swords, they run in this pose always when they run, and I have no fucking idea why. And I was
cool.
Okay, sure.
Like,
right.
I mean, I'll put it this way. I've recently gotten into Final Fantasy 14 because people have been a terrible influence on me. And
wow.
And basically, I was wanted to level up a ninja because, like, fuck it, I'm gonna play a ninja. Might as well go whole hog.
Join the cat girl squad.
Yes, and then I finally got to the level 30. I could become a ninja. Did the whole quest line, and then I was told by someone, "Hey, like, unsheath your weapons and run as a ninja." I was like, "Okay," because normally you just run like arm swing by side. As a ninja, though, when you pull your weapons and run, you do the hands behind back thing, and I actually got a little excited.
FF14
I went, "Oh
is the
shit!
Best game of all time."
That's amazing. So I was like, "Game of the year! Fuck yeah!"
So let's be fair. If you've actually got weapons in your hands, it's a good idea to put them behind you as you're running in case you trip and fall on your face.
True, true. But also, just man, yeah, it just looks cool. That's pretty much it.
All right. So we see him picking up his bike in the side view mirror of a car, which is currently being occupied by two mysterious ladies.
Now, wait. We're glossing over one of the best scenes in the entire episode. And
wait,
that's the part where he imagines himself saving this poor damsel in
distress.
That comes
later.
That's later. That's later.
We're jumping ahead.
Yeah. Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure.
Yeah,
I'm following it right now.
First, there's a lady in a very nice suit, and her passenger in the back seat, who looks so fucking over whatever is happening.
she is the audience surrogate for someone who's never watched Sentai or any other anime.
Yeah, she's my favorite character. Full stop. Like we'll talk about that later. But
both of those characters are pretty much tied for my favorite.
Yeah, same.
So she's just basically, the lady in front is like, "Here's the next one, Agaki Noburo," or Akagi, sorry. And I'm just gonna get worse on purpose every time you complain.
You pronounce Juoja Zionga. I don't know how you fucking there's no E's except for the G, and it's pronounced J. You goddamn it. I seriously, like, sorry, just, sorry to listen.
It's absorbing the attack of rage, it fuels me.
It's simply the fact that, like, I'm a fan of the podcast when I'm not a guest on it, and listening to it, I heard you fucking, like, when you first said it, was like, you used to say, like, Dobutsuro Sentai Joga, and I was like, okay, that's like fucked up, but that's not bad. And then like a week later, you said the new Sentai Zionga. I was like, what the fuck are you saying?
The first time I had it in front of me, and the second time I was just fucking guessing. So
Zionga, what the fuck is Zionga? Well, it's spelled Z-Y-U-O-H-G-E-R.
Yeah, but I didn't remember that. It just looks like gibberish to me. So.
Okay, so before Zach gets hella racist.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not gibberish, but it looks like it. That's not fair. I mean,
please dig up, stupid.
Dig up, please.
All right, so let's talk about what happened.
In my defense, half of the fucking words in anime and tokusatsu titles are actual gibberish that are not words.
Let's talk about what happens next, everybody.
Okay, fine.
Where he enters the office building of his beloved, who he fantasizes about in front of her.
And
this
he
isn't
makes
creepy at all.
He makes a kissy face that was so uncomfortable right at the camera that I actually had to fast forward. Yeah, it was upsetting.
They even frame his delusion as like a close up in a visual novel, like when in a visual novel, like the girl is declaring
I love you after you
have made enough love points.
Yes.
That was my favorite thing. He's like, he's fast forwarding to the part where he's tripped a flag, and he's just a whole hog right on track to the end, and nope.
And props to the actor, because you can't make a kiss face this uncomfortable on purpose. Like,
it's like he's rolling his eyes back a little, like his eyes are fluttering open, and you can only see white. Like,
yeah, it's so deeply upsetting. And he's imagining this, and then as he's making this face, she's like, so you need this form stamped, right?
Yeah.
And it totally breaks him out of it, and luckily she's not looking at him.
Yeah, she's bending down to get some stuff, which unblocks the view past her window, so he can then see the ad for the Aoi-chan movie.
Yes.
Which he then completely freaks out about.
Yes, and completely fails to hide it. She is fairly nice about it. She's like, what do you see? And
nicer than he really deserves.
Yes.
Yeah.
And,
yep.
And so he tries to hide it and says like, oh, I was just thinking about the weather.
So this is something that I really want to point out about Japanese culture and about intergender relations in particular.
I just imagine turning your chair around and also putting on a cap in order to put the cap on backwards.
Yep.
Like, women know exactly how fucking creepy you're being. Even if
say
it.
Yeah, she's being nice. Like,
yes,
she knows
she's being super
weird.
Nice. And Japan has this huge thing with, you know, keeping up the social persona, being polite and all that stuff. So she's just being a total fucking trooper through this, as he's just making a goddamn ass.
He's not earning the kindness.
But no, also, like, I imagine this is mostly because she's had to deal with this shit, because he sees her regularly.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Just imagine that. Like, oh, God.
Yeah, he's nicknamed The Route. Like, she's clearly seen this dude before, and she knows exactly what's going on, and she's like, oh, God, please just let this end quickly. Just give me my goddamn letter.
Please, just go.
So I have another question about the next part. Which is that he leaves and he says, that was a close one. If she found out about what I really am, and then he imagines her saying, I'm sorry, but dating someone who's 29 and still into Sentai, and calls his anime, or what does he say? And calls anime girls, my waifu is just, and then like trails off. Yeah. Now, I thought my waifu was explicitly like an English thing that people said
No. That came from a real thing.
Oh, that's deeply upsetting.
That's the thing that a lot of... Let's be frank, like, I honestly try and shield people who are unsullied by this knowledge, by, like, they go,
but
oh,
too
this
bad,
is just...
Zach, you're in deep now.
Yeah,
I knew
a lot of this shit isn't, oh, it's funny, or jokes, haha. It's like, no, this started from a real fucking thing.
I thought
thing.
My yeah. wife
well, let me go
was...
find you some pictures people have taken of themselves giving cake to their Love Plus waifus.
No. So I know...
The Love Plus waifus are totally legit, though. Like, there's an actual Steam achievement for Love Plus waifus.
I know that, like, actually... fucking dating your virtual girl or whatever. Like, I know that exists. I thought the term my waifu was similar to, like, when people use that really bad like Rhett's Prey. Like, I thought it was a really awful racist.
No, it started
it's actually a thing in Japan.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a real phrase that he then appropriated for
Let me go ahead and say I'm not sure which of those is worse, actually. I kind of think the fact that it's a thing that was awful, and then we said, oh, an awful thing, let's take that. Like, that might be worse, actually, than what I thought it was.
Well, again, it's like the thing where people misunderstood the fact that, oh, otaku, there's a word in the thing, in this your foreign culture that I fucking obsess over for the person I am. This is great. No, it's not.
Oh, like
no, it is not.
It as a badge of honor. Sure, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
All right. So after he finishes imagining like her totally rejecting him, he sees a thief riding down the street. And he is like, oh, crap, I need to be a hero and go save this poor lady who's had her purse stolen. So he rides his bicycle down the stairs, like, stops the guy, then spin kicks him with his bicycle.
Yes, yeah.
Because of course he does.
And if you're thinking, wait a minute, nothing cool ever happens to this man. How is this possible? It's because it's all in his head.
Yes, and I have to say, I was actually shocked because his previous two fantasies that we've seen went so sideways that I was kind of surprised he was even capable of having a positive fantasy. but what actually happens is he falls flat on his face, and then the lady, who again, I would rather the show be about this lady, picks up his bike and throws it at the mugger.
Yeah, and we should note, it's not like the mugger is close by. The mugger is a good, like, 30 or 40 feet away, still riding on his bike, riding on his, like, moped or whatever.
Yeah.
She fucking chucks that bike, like, she had to lead the trajectory on that bicycle.
Yeah, yeah. And she just picks up her fucking purse and walks up to her, up to him, and is like, "Thanks," and then just dumps the bike on him and leaves. And it's the best. It's my favorite.
It's like she knows exactly what he tried to do. She knows what he was thinking, and she's just like, "God, just fuck you."
Yeah. I can see a lot of this being a play on the fact that very early, like even to some extent, like when I say very early, I'm still talking up until maybe mid-2000s in some cases. Still present to this day, tokusatsu, you know, primarily Kamen Rider, which, you know, the director and some of the primary writers of the show are from, oddly enough, not Super Sentai, Kamen Rider doesn't really treat women that well, and it's all, and even when they're treated well, it still is a case of Kamen Rider, Toei has a hard line, Kamen Rider is for boys, primarily. Yeah,
there's never been a lady.
No, there have been female writers, but they've never been the main writer. Bad things happen to them when they become the writer.
Like Gen Urobuchi things, I'm imagining.
Well, Gen Urobuchi wrote a Kamen Rider series. Wrap your head around that shit.
Yeah.
But then it's also the case where even when there are, like, you know, decent to good portrayals of women in Kamen Rider, there's still some as presenters more capable than the hero, but they're still on the side. So, yeah, I kind of had a good time watching these scenes, but also remembered, man, fuck.
You know, it's funny because it also comes back around again, because like you said, these really awesome, capable female heroes are still on the side. And you know what? We never hear from Bike Lady again.
Yeah.
I will say that there are three...
Because she's too cool to be an Akiba Ranger. She could be an actual official Ranger.
I do like that there are three Rangers and two of them are women. I don't know that they've ever done that in an actual Sentai.
Well, so no, actually they explicitly state that they've never done that before.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool.
The only time the genders have been equal in any Sentai series have been very rare. And it's usually, like, only when they get up to around 10 ranges will the equilibrium hit. Because, like, it's usually either... There's either one girl in a group of 5 to 6, sometimes 2. Then you get stuff like Deca Ranger and Kyoryuja where there's more than 1 or 2 women. And even then... Actually, no, Kyoryuja still only had 2 women. And Deca Ranger... Deca Ranger has equal amounts, men and women, but 2 of the women are not... that present that much.
When I found out that, like, I always knew that the Yellow Ranger in Mighty Morphin was a guy, I was not aware that Power Rangers actually usually adds an extra girl. Which it's even worse in the Sentai, the gender split. So, this one, it's pretty cool.
Well, I mean, it's the case where, like, they tried doing an all-male Sentai with Sun Vulcan, which...
People got real mad, right?
Yeah, people got real fucking mad because, like, there's no girls. What the fuck? Like, little girls do actually love Sentai as well.
And it's what funny am I because... supposed to make my waifu?
No, but no, like, it was the case, like, they just also didn't have many toy sales because they fucking forgot. Oh, whoops, girls also buy toys as well, and girls like this shit. And
what? Weird.
This Akiba Ranger actually kind of plays on that because Sun Vulcan is the only Sentai? Oh, no, not the only. But it's Sun Vulcan, their uniforms were red, blue, and yellow, also only three Rangers, and they all had white scarves.
Just like the only one that looks just right, just like this. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, pretty much.
So at this point, to move us forward, the lady who we saw earlier in the limo gets out of the limo and walks
That's
up.
That's not a limo; it's a people carrier.
I'm sorry, limo, whatever.
It's a fucking van.
I assumed it was a limo because my brain was filling in narrative gaps of
what
how
limo
this
have
shit...
you ever seen with a sliding door?
It'd be a limo in an actual Sentai, not this.
Yes. Yeah. So she gets out and she says, "Would you like to become an Akiba Ranger and fight to create a peaceful future for mankind?" And he loses his shit. And
so would I.
This is so good because he imagines the opening to the show, basically.
The opening is the most fucking J-pop anime song in the entire goddamn universe.
So it is, except that the lyrics are about how they'll probably all get murdered. Like, it's the lyrics are really kind of, they are darkly comic, let's say, because it's showing exactly what you would see in a normal Sentai opening. So it's like walking in front of explosions and kicking people and being rad. And then the lyrics are
using
like,
ice cream cones as weapons.
Yeah. And then the lyrics are like, they're not afraid of being killed in horrible ways. It feels like I'm going to barf soon. Like, just weird. Yeah, it's really...
Yeah, have the spirit to die a great death, plunge into the crimson flames.
Yes. Holy what? Shit. Like, yep. It's really good. This is one of my favorite parts of the whole episode.
I kind of love... It's so specific with its reference to Sentai openings, with the fact that you have them even driving past the mental character turning around and saluting them. This is literally a goddamn trademark of Sentai openings. That's so weird. And the music getting heavier and a bit more hardcore the second the villain appears. Like, that's... Yeah. Oh,
easily,
fuck.
Easily my favorite part of the opening music, though, is the commander, like, using test tubes to mix herself an alcoholic drink.
Yes. Yeah. That's really funny. I also love that they actually, before the song starts, they point out that they're Akiba Ranger because they defend specifically, and Jules, how do you say that this area of Tokyo?
Akibahara.
Akibahara? Okay. Which is like the electronics and
it's
from
electric
what I understand.
Town.
Electronics and otaku bullshit.
Yeah, it's the official nerd hangout.
It would be like if you had a superhero, which I guess there are these, but I don't know. It just feels goofier for some reason.
Zach, I'm going to tell you something. Having been there myself, there's literally like at the four corners of the district, roughly or so, there's like, if you look down at the ground and the pavement, there's a mosaic in tiles of like a plug and a USB charger and stuff. They
that's
know what
funny.
That place is.
Okay, that's cool. Well, what I was going to say is, they are essentially an entire superhero team for, like, one borough of Tokyo, which is very funny to me. Like, I like that concept. We are to defend this area, and that's it.
Yeah, so let's
we can't handle anything more than that.
Like, yeah. If we're going to westernize this, let's imagine, like, a bunch of kids defending Palo Alto.
There's also a part in the opening where... the Red Ranger flips up the Blue Ranger's skirt and she has Ranger panties basically. And then the Yellow Ranger has to break up a fight between them.
Yes.
Which I thought that was pretty
good. There's also a point where the Red Ranger is hit by a truck.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah.
And the Yellow Ranger trips on a rock while running into battle.
Which funnily enough, the tripping because of like an explosion or during explosion that later became a thing in Tokyo. Where the opening, it would be a different ranger who tripped because of the explosion behind them.
That's pretty great.
There's, Again, when Sentai knows to make fun of itself, it makes fun of itself. In the Tokyuja versus Kyoryuja, like, train and dinosaur Sentai movie, when the Kyoryujas transform, their colored explosions happen in front of the Tokyujas and blow them backwards and hurt them. Because you never transform in front of someone. That's just rude.
Yeah, that's not how that's supposed to work.
No.
So
7 minutes, just under 7 minutes in, we finally have our title drop. Pain is strength.
Yeah. Yes, which I thought that was really fun. That fits with all the, like, we're gonna die, a good death stuff in the lyrics.
Which is great, because Red must be torturing himself so much emotionally at this point.
Yeah, he like, even now, when he has just been told he's gonna be a Sentai Red, that, well, my interpretation of the episode title is that that is what he is thinking. So, which is a little dark, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, so, and so then, like, he's like, yes, this is just like in the Japanese version of Dino Force? Or whatever.
What?
Dino Force is not a Power Ranger series.
Dino Thunder,
which okay, was yeah. Abba Ranger.
Yeah.
Right.
And he says, like, yeah, she got her, or he got his right after he stopped the mugging. Hooray!
No, it is female.
It's
the yellow
Yeah,
Ranger.
It is a girl. Yeah.
And the lady in the back, who, again, will become my favorite character, is like, you didn't stop shit! What are you talking about?
Yes!
Yeah, Mitsuki Aoyagi is fantastic.
She's great.
And the lady in the front, the director, says, oh, but he has incredible power. And this whole episode, because I meant to watch, we delayed our recording of this, and I meant to watch the next couple episodes. I did not get around to it. But God, I want to know this lady's angle so bad. Like, I want to know what is in this for her.
Yeah.
And because she is playing this guy so hard,
yeah.
And it's very funny.
Like, to his credit, he makes the logical conclusion of, okay, so where's the script? When do we start recording?
Yes, he is not so deluded that he thinks he is going to be an actual superhero. He thinks he's going to get to act in...
He thinks he's going to be an actor. He doesn't think he's going to be an actual real-life Power Ranger.
Right, he's not that nuts, thankfully.
Yeah, and then she has to explain, like, no, you're going to be an actual Ranger, kind of.
Sort of.
An unofficial ranger, in fact. As we will state 36 more times in this episode.
Right, yeah, they're very, very insistent about that.
Yeah, the blue, like, he's like, oh, hey, nice to meet you, other person in this car, what's your name? And he immediately, like, gets that she's the Blue Ranger because of her name.
Her name is...
And also the fact that she's wearing blue.
Yeah.
And also the fact that she just doesn't give a fuck about him.
Which is a blue standard, yes.
Her name is Aoyagi, is that right? And
yeah.
And Ao, is that blue in...
Yes.
Okay. So he assumes that she is the Blue Ranger because of her name, and he says, oh, well, so who's next? And the director says, Yellow, and he says, but Yellow has to have Key in their name, and I've never met anyone with that in their name. So that's a problem.
And also, he specifically mentioned in his 29 years of life, and Mitsuki is like, you're 29?
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, she calls him an old man, which, like, again, I haven't watched much anime or tokusatsu. I am currently watching Sailor Moon, and there is a part where their teacher, who I think is, like, 26, is called, like, an old maid who no one will marry, and I'm like, oh, boy, Japan. You got some,
God damn, that stinks.
Yeah, there's some problems over there, I guess.
So he's like, you know, it's crap, like, what would Red Rangers of the past have done in this situation?
Well, they say people in Japan are like Christmas cakes, you know, it doesn't matter how delicious it is, nobody really wants it after the 20th.
Oh, God.
Oh, God!
That's so deeply upsetting.
No, that's actually a state. That's actually a race.
I know. Yeah. I'm not joking. I remembered it. Fuck.
Yeah, so did I. I've heard it before.
So I have a quick question for Jules, because he says, what would the great Sentai Reds do? And the first picture is of a dude in a Dracula cape.
Okay. It's a high collar leather jacket.
Uh-huh.
And that's from Digimon. He's also posing, if you notice in the corner, he's posing with a Shiba Inu.
It's a fucking Dracula cape.
Very wow.
Look,
yeah, that dude has a flamboyant costume.
Yeah, like Sentai, they fucking know their shit when it comes to... Okay, I'll put it this way. One of my favorite things, it still remains to this day, in Shinkenja, which is 2010, the Green Ranger for that, his civilian outfit is like a metallic green Letterman's jacket, and Shinkenja was a samurai ranger, and his animal was the bear. And on the back of this metallic green Letterman's jacket is an old Japanese-style painting of a bear, and it just says in huge font on the back, Samurai!
Oh my god, are you serious?
Subtlety is not... Yeah, subtlety is not, like, a big thing in Sentai. I gotcha.
Well, especially funny for him, because they're supposed to, like, not be secret about it, but, like, he's the only one of them who broadcasts the fact that he's a samurai. Like...
Yeah. So, his Yellow shows basically the director finds Yellow with no problems.
Well, hold on. We're introduced to Yellow by her interrupting Red's like flashbacks to older Sentai series by poking at him with like a fur stick that she has in her full catgirl maid cosplay.
So I noticed
maybe the most horrifying catgirl maid cosplay I've seen in my life.
So it's not even the thing she pokes him with is not a finger; it's just a stick of fur. I don't understand what that's supposed to be.
So I want to make a point about Yellow, in that she is fully aware of exactly what she's doing, and she is just vamping the fuck out of every otaku that comes her way. Like this is a business lady first and foremost. And she knows exactly what she's doing.
She's
nowhere near as delusional as Red.
No, I did.
Like, Red just buys the whole thing hook, line, and sinker, and she's like, there's money in these fools.
Yeah, and I also love that she, even though she knows, like, about as much as he does, and, like, on the surface is... So she stays in character, even when she's morphed. So if she was...
seem authentic. Otherwise, the otaku won't bite.
Right. So if she's dressed as a cat girl when she morphs, she continues to say nyan a lot. And I know that that continues as the series keeps going. So, like, that is a great conceit. I love that. And also, yeah, she's totally doing this for... I looked up the Wikipedia entry for this show, and apparently she marries Deep Pockets, like, halfway through.
Yeah, in second season, she apparently, like, just... She fucking knows what she's doing, and... You know, gets a fucking sugar daddy. Like.
Yeah. So you are
living the dream.
You are spot on.
Off until Gold City.
Yeah,
and then like, Akagi's like, "Who the hell is this?"
Yeah.
And the other characters who are paying attention to what happens, like, are saying, "Oh, she's our Yellow Ranger," and he like gets lost in thought again, and it's like, blue and yellow as girls. This is a historic first.
He also doesn't quite like Zach Morris it, but he does do a lot of like, I'm doing an internal monologue, and everyone continues to just keep moving around and just sort of stare at him, which I like a lot.
Yeah, and then they bond over Sentai.
Yeah. Yeah, which is pretty great. I also love she has a business card.
Of course she does.
Yeah,
He's a professional cosplayer.
Uh-huh. He's not just surprised that there's a blue and yellow female. He says we can't because it's never been done, which is like, dude, really?
It's also the fact that we're like, Toei is very strict. If they take a risk, that risk fails, nope, fuck it. In the trash can. Like, they are very stringent about that shit.
Well, that's just a Japanese corporate culture in general.
Exactly.
They're very risk-averse.
Yeah, they're, mm-hmm. they're a business, so I get it.
Yeah, so, and again, we have another good gag at Akagi's expense, where they're like, okay, but seriously, we need to get going now, otherwise it will come. He looks up at the sky, and there's, like, lightning and dark clouds. He's like, you mean alien invaders? and then
the
just
dark
starts
clouds
raining.
Are swirling.
Yeah,
like, yeah, like
rain, dipshit. Like <it's the car. laughs>
you know, like it does in Japan in the summer.
So they go. They get in the car and they go to their base, which is translated in the. There's a big sign in Japanese, and it is translated in the subtitles as Secret Base Sentai Cafe. And that
I want
makes,
to go to here!
That makes me laugh a lot. That yeah. is very
I
funny.
Wanna, I want to live there! Why yeah. does this exist?
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a cafe with, like, a bunch of Sentai merchandise.
Fuck
and,
yes!
And also, like, the I can't tell if it's, a, like, a, actually a cafe. Like, they say it is, but I don't see any tables or anything.
I mean,
I guess
yeah,
have...
there are tables, and they are currently serving customers when they come in.
Yeah, and they're all dressed as like what does her uniform say on the back?
Okay, Search Guard successor.
It's from Bokenja, which was the 30th anniversary Sentai.
Okay, cool.
And they were basically gotcha. Basically like archaeologist Sentai. And then behind her, I
did you just say archaeologist Sentai?
Yeah, like they save ancient relics and stuff.
Okay, so. Expound on this for me, because I find this okay. fascinating, and I've never heard of it.
Well, basically, it was a 30th anniversary Sentai. It was okay. Like, not that great, but basically, it was also a tribute to, like, not so much as Gokaijin, where they directly reference Sentai, but they were basically, like, all the main cast were based on previous attributes of the most famous, like, blue, red, yellow, black, and pink rangers. Their whole deal is, like, all of their vehicles are based on, like, rescue, as well as, like, excavation craft. Like, hers is, like,
wait,
a digger. She's
wait,
got,
wait.
Like...
Rescue slash excavation.
Yeah, because, like, it's jets, it's hovercraft, it's also, like, a submarine. She's got a... Her deal is that she's got, like, an excavation, like, digger zord. And, like, even to the point where, like, and they're based on, they're actually more, like, it's not just archaeology, but also, like, the sense of adventure. Like, and also, what was it as well? Like, to the point where their fucking helmets have headlights on them to represent, like, the vehicles. And and then, like, the Sixth Ranger, who's a Silver Ranger, he's based on, like, because in the opening, they show you, like, their historical counterparts, so they'll show you, like, sea captains and, like, archaeologists and adventurers, and then for the Sixth Ranger, his deal is, like, based on the sort of intrepid adventure you see at night with, like, a huge lantern and torch, and he's literally got shoulder pad headlights as well, and he's, like, the dazzling hero and bulk in silver, and then they've got an extra character who's not a ranger, but they find an old relic's ancient sword, which is super powerful, and the sword can transform into a robotic humanoid that can only say one word, which is its name, Zubon. So it just says Zubon, like a fucking Pokemon, but it can also transform into a sword for them to use.
Is this the one that Operation Overdrive is based
yes.
on? Okay.
Yes.
Was it terrible? Like Operation
Overdrive? It wasn't as terrible as that. Some people liked it. There's some okay stuff from it. It's fine. Like
okay,
that's always just, some people but, liked it. Is always the compliment you use when you're really like
well,
apathetic about a thing.
Yeah, when you
Operation
Overdrive. You don't want to piss anybody off. You're like some people liked it.
Yeah.
Operation Overdrive is widely considered the absolute worst season of
oh,
Power Rangers.
Terrible.
So at least it's not that. I mean,
oh, it's terrible. It's the worst.
Yeah, it's really bad.
I just really love the mental picture that I get when I hear power or when I hear archaeologist Sentai.
Yes.
Because
yeah.
the immediate thing that I think of is Indiana Jones doing
all
a transformation.
All of them are shirtless.
Yeah, like they
yes.
wanted,
and then,
they
like,
wanted
Sean
Operation
Connery
Overdrive to be.
Shit.
They wanted Operation Overdrive to be Indiana Jones Power Rangers.
Yeah,
because
Sean Connery is the Silver Ranger.
Well,
you see, that really
current...
should be the best thing.
I'll put it this way: this is the narration for. The first episode. In every era, there are explorers that seek unknown worlds. People call them adventurers. This foundation is a non-government organization that gathers lost treasures from around the world. Treasures such as relics from ancient civilizations, the treasures left behind by people, as well as animals near extinction. Among them are treasures that possess powers surpassing current technology called Precious. This is a team that finds and protects the Precious.
Okay.
Precious.
I want to extrapolate from this term non-government. Because yes. This literally makes them sound like a poachers PMC. And grave robbers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I love that.
They're basically, it's Tomb Raider Sentai. It's Tomb Raider Sentai. Yeah, like, she literally, the Yellow Ranger in this case specifically can, like, get, like, digger scoop hands at one point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And also, their Zord has a big shovel, also, which is pretty great.
Anyway, before we get too deep into other Sentai holes.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, so they enter the Sentai Cafe.
What about getting deep into holes, Dusty? Oh,
I was wondering how long it would take you before you made an innuendo at me.
I was just biding my time.
So they enter the cafe and immediately freak out about the scale model combining robot from Seiju Sentai Ginga Man.
Which was Lost Galaxy.
Yeah.
And my favorite thing that happens here is that they're like... You know, they're freaking out about all this stuff, but then, like, Red asks, what do we call you here? Or she says, I didn't introduce myself. And he says, and she says, oh, Hakase. And he calls her Dr. Professor Hakase. And she's like,
because
no.
Hakase is the Japanese, like, name, is the Japanese term for doctor and such.
Oh. It doubles as doctor and professor, actually.
Okay. So I didn't quite catch that, but I do love that he just assumes because she's wearing a white coat and plus the name, I guess, that she is a doctor professor, and she's like, no, I'm a manager. I run the cafe.
I think we find out later that she's actually like, she's like a mental figure professor, doctor, scientist, nerd. She just likes all those characters.
Okay.
See, now I'm thinking of Dr. Girlfriend from the Venture Brothers.
Yes.
I love how when their customers leave, like, the waitress who's wearing, like, the yellow uniform says, Red is deploying!
Yeah,
fuck, I want to go!
So I have a question
about that. Have a successful mission.
I have a question about that, but I'm going to hold it until after we see what happens here, because we'll get to it. Because he says, like, wait, so we call you manager here. And he still thinks it's like a weird title, and she's like, "No, I'm the manager of the fucking..." Yeah, it's just it's very good. And then Blue decides she's gonna leave. She says, "This is
because
ridiculous.
Of course she does. I mean, yeah, that's exactly what I would do."
Yeah. She's so tsundere.
And the manager says, "Like, oh, so you don't care about like?
Is this the limit of your passion for fighting?"
Yeah. And she shows her something in the paper with her picture next to it. It doesn't subtitle it, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, apparently she lost a martial arts tournament.
Okay.
Is the paraphrasing of that.
Okay. Yeah. So so she's like, yeah, you should become a master. And Red and Yellow talk her into staying. Though she still suspects everything is a scam. So
with
at this
good
point,
reason.
Yeah. So at this point, they bring out in a glass case under nice cloth, anime figurines.
Yeah,
like anime
boy,
girl
boy,
figurines.
CQ.
No, but not just any anime figurines.
Yeah,
Alitan figurines.
Yes,
like
the one that he obsesses over.
And I love that. I love this detail so much because it alludes to something that has already been alluded to previously, but is not explicitly stated, and that is that literally every single part of this entire fiasco feeds into the main character's delusions.
Yes, totally. It's funny because it's a parody, but it also does like a lot of the things that actual Sentai do, which is like, oh, I'm, you know, like I'm like in Dino Charge in the newest Sentai. Basically the main character is the Pink Ranger, and she is way into dinosaurs, and whoa, weird, I found these gems that are powered by dinosaur souls. What a quinky dink.
I mean,
like,
again...
Oh, hey, cool, our powers are powered by anime.
Yes.
Again, look at... Let's go back to Mask Man. The Red Ranger in that is an orphan who grew up on the mean streets, who then becomes a Formula One race driver, and his giant robot is based on a Formula One car.
Sure, of course
Wait,
it is.
What?
Why wouldn't it be?
No, we can't summarize another entire season of the Sentai. We can't. We'll be here literally forever.
So I'll help. I'll help by moving on and saying that he freaks out when he sees these. And another of my favorite parts of this is Yellow, who I will remind you is dressed as an anime cat girl maid.
Literally
makes fun of him for being obsessed with an anime girl.
Instead of her freaking out with him, which is what has happened so far, it's Mitsuki who does it instead.
Yes, that's
the
true.
One who's literally dressed as an anime cat girl. And like I said before, like, this whole thing is a business to her. Like, she's in this to make money. She's in this to, like, find a sugar daddy. So she looks at him and she's like, oh my god, this guy is seriously for real.
Yeah, and what happens next is that Blue freaks out with him, and Red, who doesn't understand how, like, social interactions with human beings work, gets really excited, and she says,
no,
like,
just
no.
Just like me!
Yeah, he says, like, no, I just like it for the fights, and he way invades her personal space, and...
just realized what his gloves are, and this is bothering me. Sorry, go on, but I just want to talk about his gloves after you finish.
Are there fingerless gloves with gloves under them?
I
just noticed
gloves,
that too.
They're like the only thing the main character is missing is a fedora and a trench coat.
They're fingerless gloves with fingers, which is hilarious.
Because, like, he's wearing winter, like, sort of grayish white gloves, sure.
Yeah,
but then over
there,
he's got the fingerless leather gloves.
Yeah. He has gloves on top
Why?
Of gloves.
So
why, you asshole? Why?
It's so cool!
Because he still has to wear the costume.
Yeah. So he puts his hands on both of her shoulders, and she's immediately incredibly uncomfortable. And he says, you're just like me. And she says, no, no, no. And he says, yes, yes, yes. And
dude, she had more self-control than I ever would have.
Yeah, and she like pulls his hands off, and he keeps doing it. It's, dude, you blew it so hard. Like, you did such a bad job. But they hand them these Aoi-tan dolls, and I'm sorry, figurines, and, she tells them, like, these will let you transform, and they're just like, oh, okay.
Just have to say the code word, deep delusion.
The code fucking kills me.
My subtitles say grand delusion is the code word, and that's so great. Like, he doesn't question it at all.
Nobody questions it at all.
No. But at least Blue looks like, what is this?
Yeah,
bullshit?
She very half-heartedly says the code word.
But he, like, poses and everything and does this entire, like, morphing hand motions and yells, grand illusion. Yellow just does it kind of happily.
And everybody else just looks at Red like he's a fucking tool, because he is.
Yeah. And also, again, as you pointed out earlier, it's also a gun. Like, she's an anime girl that is a gun.
It transforms into a gun.
So they yell
P.S.
Grand Delusion.
She has Zetai Ryoki.
Yes. They yell Grand Delusion and then pull the trigger. And this is my favorite gag in the entire show. Because if you've ever seen a single episode of Power Rangers, they morph and then are just in a different place. With no explanation.
They're in a blank, like, just dirt... field
this
with
place, a no they're in a warehouse.
Yeah, warehouse.
They're in a warehouse.
It's a dirty old empty warehouse, which is again one of the beloved Toei stables of stock footage. Like, this is where all the fight scenes happen.
Yeah, like,
the thing that,
go ahead, sorry.
The thing that really gets me is that it's a warehouse with a dirt floor. Like, this isn't just a regular warehouse. It has a dirt floor.
This is like where you'd keep horses.
Totally. 1950s shit.
But then,
like,
here's the thing. Because it's got a dirt floor, it makes fight scenes look fucking cool and brutal.
Yep.
I'm not joking. This is the shit they go to with fucking Sentai and Kamen Rider. I've seen so many episodes take place in this thing.
Yeah. And Blue is like... So first of all, they do freak out about being transformed briefly, but Blue is like, wait, why are we in a warehouse? And Red's answer is not anything that makes sense. It's just, oh, because that's what happens in Sentai.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like, yeah, what you should be surprised by is that we actually transformed.
Yeah.
The best thing is, like, people assume in Power Rangers that that's due to, oh, it's just editing with the stock footage from Sentai. No, that's just how it happens in Sentai as well.
Yeah. After I watched, I talked about this on Teenagers with Attitude, the normal show, but like after I watched a bunch of G-Ranger, I was like, oh man, it's not even their fucking fault that that show is like super disjointed. That's just how it is. Like, yeah. I did not realize that.
It's not like the locations are based on outside of any plot specific areas and like places where there's supposed to be character development and actual symbolism or imagery. The rest of the sets are and like backgrounds are based on where would this look coolest and when do we have the time to film this?
Yeah, yeah. It's funny because it just happened.
Which locations do we actually own that we don't have to pay anybody to film that?
Oh right. No, Toei actually owns so many locations. It's why no film outside of Japan can be filmed in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those things where, like, they are so dedicated to that we just noticed this in Power Rangers. There's three episodes in a row where they go to the beach, and they don't do that in any other point in the show. And we were trying to figure out that why. It's like, well, because they fucking filmed at the beach on the Sentai for a couple episodes. Like,
and the American editors, were like, we have to make this make sense somehow.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like, well, they got one shooting day at the beach, and they shot three episodes worth of footage, and we've got to fucking use it somehow. So.
Can I mention how much I love their costumes, specifically that they have molded hair?
Yes.
Like, it's fucking amazing.
The Red Ranger has the traditional anime spiked guy hair. The Yellow Ranger has twin tails. The Blue Ranger has a ponytail.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, it's great. I really like that part.
Yeah, let's delve into the fucking costumes for a bit, especially the blue and yellow costumes.
Well, so
yeah.
The red one is actually like a pretty solid ranger costume. Like, it's not the best one ever, but it's pretty good, actually. Yeah, though.
shortest skirts in the universe.
Blue and yellow have really short skirts. They have essentially... So imagine a sexy anime lady costume, except the skin is just white.
Like cloth?
I love the fact that they even have skirts at all.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
They're wearing armor already.
I'm going to tell you why that's the case even for Sentai.
Ooh,
a lot of the reason why girl rangers in Sentai have skirts is sometimes they can't... A lot of the time is the suit actors... aren't women, even for the female rangers, so they have to hide the bulge.
It's just a show. Oh, okay.
Oh,
gotcha.
Seriously?
Wait.
Yeah, like there's one of the most because a lot of the suit actors in Sentai are veterans. They're not like, oh, it's every season it's a different suit actor. Like, rarely have they gotten, like, they're only starting to just get in new suit actors because the old ones are retiring. Because they've been doing it since the very fucking beginning.
Wow.
And if you look at the list of their credits, like, one guy has played almost every female Yellow Ranger ever.
Wow. I mean, I'll be honest, skirts do a pretty good job of hiding a bulge, but still.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. But I... So, yeah, basically, the blue and yellow ranger costumes are, like, sexy lady, anime lady costumes.
High stockings!
Yeah, except instead of skin, it's just white cloth. But it's still, like, it
Well, they are powered by anime.
Yeah. So, at this point, they gather around Red's Aoi-Tan doll, which has the manager's voice coming out of it, and she's like, yeah, I told you we weren't just filming a TV show, and he's like, I'm a Sentai Red for real? And she's like, well, sort of.
We'll get into that later.
Here comes the disclaimer.
Yeah, she says, you're,
I like how Blue's reaction to transforming is, I can't take this.
Yes, yeah, like, yeah.
I'm done. This is fucked up.
Why is this even happening?
Manager says, let's test your powers, and a magical wrecking ball appears out of nowhere, And Red is like, a training ball, a training scene with a wrecking ball, just like in my daydreams. And Blue, who is not a crazy person, tries to shove him out of the way and then punches it and it explodes. Because she has superpowers.
And
so,
then she's into it.
Yeah. And then there's another one and they shoot it with laser guns. Also, his phrase he yells is normal attack gun blast, which yeah. I like a lot. That made me laugh.
I love a super dramatic, nonsensical attack name and just actually made it something completely mundane and stupid.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, yeah. Like, they yell it like it's, you know, an attack name out of, you know, well, a Sentai, except it's just guns. Shoot gun.
Yeah. Total attack. Shoot shit.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's kind of like what One Punch Man did with, like, just normal consecutive punches.
Oh, man, don't attack One Punch Man. We'll be here all night.
Okay. Yeah. True. But...
So, Blue, now you're right. Yeah, now Blue is excited. She's like, oh, man, I feel great. This is fantastic. And then Red says, because he's a couple years old, we're the 37th Super Sentai. And manager goes, no, until you get official recognition complete with a TV adaptation of your adventures that shows every Sunday morning, you're an unofficial Sentai. And I, yeah, that's pretty great. Like, the full name of this show is Unofficial Sentai Akiba Ranger.
It's like recruiting someone to be, like, to wear a bat costume to fight crime at night and go, I can't believe I'm Batman. Well, not really. Yeah, like, yeah. I mean,
like, you get Batman's hand-me-downs.
It goes even further than just the fact that they're actually not Batman. Like, yeah.
It's like they're the minor leagues in baseball, except that they could die.
No, it's like they're the minor leagues in baseball, except that they're only playing in a video arcade.
Well, they don't. Yeah, yes. That is basically what you find out, is that this is. They don't really explain whether it's like VR or magic or what, but yeah, this is not real. Like, this is not actually happening. They don't really get into it, especially deep in this first episode.
Yeah. Red is actually the one who comes up with the title for their quote unquote show. And the commander's like, yeah, that'll do for now.
Yes. Fine. Yeah. He says our mission is to become superheroes, defend the Earth, get our own TV show, and become an official Super Sentai.
The best part is he actually prioritizes that list too. He puts saving the Earth ahead of getting his own TV show. He's but like, you know, the TV show is still up there.
Yeah. He's listen. Saving the Earth is most important.
Yeah. So she uses a fancy remote control to bring them out of their delusion. And they're like, okay, sweet. So what's our target? I don't know.
Yeah. quick note, because I forgot to mention
it. She prefaces it first with, like, we never know where the enemy will appear or in what form. And they're like, so basically you're saying you have no fucking idea.
Yeah. Yeah. But also, quick note, the Yellow Ranger is... And I have a question about this, because I don't really understand how it works with subtitles, but she's making mia puns constantly.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I don't understand how that works with subtitles, because so she's like, this is me awesome, but, like, the word for awesome in Japanese is not awesome, so how do you... You understand my question? Like,
yeah,
I'm confused.
So she's making nya puns, which of course nya is the equivalent onomatopoeia of meow in Japanese. So it's like saying, I need you here, right fucking meow.
Right, it's yeah.
Like that.
But, yeah, so that's great. I love that she and also she's been doing it the whole episode. I just forgot to mention it.
Yeah, but she totally stays in character the entire time, because I think she's totally got her sights on Red, because she knows he's the real deal.
Yes. Yeah, because he'll fall for anything, basically.
Yep.
So she's like, I don't really have, like, an enemy set up for you or anything, which is pretty great. So, okay, let me ask you guys a question. You watched a couple of episodes of this.
Yeah.
Do they explain what... her deal is? Like, why she's doing this, or no?
I don't remember. I don't think they do this early on, though.
Okay.
Yeah, I only watched, like, what, the first 5 episodes?
Something
like that. I only rewatched the first... I mean, we watched the first 5 episodes, like, what, 3 years ago or something ridiculous?
When this show first aired. Which
I'm literally going to have to watch
in 2012.
I want to understand what the
fuck
is happening.
So it's been 4 years since we've seen anything beyond episode 1, which I just rewatched tonight. So I don't quite remember, but I remember it actually does keep up this level of quality through at least the first 5 episodes.
Yeah, I'm going to have to watch some more because I want to know what the hell is going on.
I love that the eye catch for this, for the commercial break, is them posing and then running away from the commander.
Yeah. So, at this point, Red is, like, just patrolling, basically.
Yeah, trying to find villains to defeat.
He says, but trouble in the city isn't just going to land in front of me, at which point... a lady
trouble
in a maid costume
lands in front of him,
runs in front of him, and then falls down.
Yeah,
it's like bad like drama club. Oh no, I tripped. In front of him.
At first, I thought she was like this was an insurance scam. Like she should pretend.
Same here.
You hit like, me with your bike.
Yeah. While walking it. He's not even riding it. He's walking his bike. So it would have...
The best part is that she's actually dressed as a maid. So imagine somebody running an insurance scam who's actually in costume for something like this.
Right, and it turns out she was working at a maid cafe, and she says it was attacked. So he goes, oh, okay, and he gathers up the other rangers, and they go to the maid cafe.
But they which is underworld themed.
They never really get into exactly how or why the cafe was attacked. Every bit of that is completely glossed over and we're expected to forget about it.
No, because I don't think he cares. He's just like, bad guys.
No.
He's like, nobody this cares. Is just like Maji Ranger.
Yeah. he goes, well, it's underworld themed, which is like Maji Ranger. So the bad guys from Maji Ranger must be here, which is such a crazy leap of logic that I cannot deal.
That's, God, it's like if someone released like a laughing gas second went, it's the Joker! No! He's not a real person, dude!
Yeah.
Like,
So they enter the cafe and are immediately met by vampire maids, and I'm like, okay, Akiba Ranger. Go on.
What's the vampire mean?
At which point, and Blue is like, wait, you bite people? And they're like, yes. And she's like, isn't that a health code violation?
I mean, it's only a violation if they complain.
Oh, Blue is so good. She's my favorite.
Dude, if there was a restaurant, if I had a choice between 2 restaurants and one restaurant, you know, maids just like bit me at and the other one they didn't. I mean, if I'm going to be perfectly honest, I'm probably going to go to the first one.
Yeah, sure. Why not? So at this point, they get all up on him.
And about to bite him in the neck.
Yeah, and he is not having it and like twirls them around and
puts them both in headlocks.
Yeah, sort of. Not especially well.
Well, as good as a headlock as he can manage.
Yes, he tries. So he's like, you're really one monster because you finished each other's sentences, and that's another Sentai rule.
It is. He's not wrong. It fucking is.
It's just so great that – and the best part is he's always right with these. Like, that's the thing that seals it.
That's the thing that fucking kills Blue, too.
Yeah.
She's so pissed off about this. She's like, why do you know more about this? I fucking hate you. You're a fucking loser. And yet, for some reason, in this single, specific situation that against every single probability in the universe you found yourself in, you know – everything. And I just really kind of want to wring your neck and watch it like slowly fade from your eyes.
So the best part is at this point, the 2 maids do in fact turn into like a robot, evil robot thing.
Yeah, but before that happens,
which just totally screws up Red.
Right.
Before that happens though, like the manager, I think, or
yes.
like at, like like kicks a man in the face as she transforms into the like main villainess.
Who is a sexy Nazi?
Oh my god! Let me.
I really want to say this. Okay, so you might be noticing that the villainess in this series is wearing a very skimpy outfit.
Uh huh.
That's on theme for who this actress is.
Okay.
Her name is Honoka.
Isn't she a porn actress?
She is a Japanese adult video star.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I knew I recognized her.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
From her reel? Like...
Yes, for real.
Yes, for absolute real.
That's actually genuinely great. That's really funny to me.
And what I really love about this is the fact that she's wearing literally a latex version of an SS uniform.
Yeah. Let's... Okay.
Yeah, that's part... That itself is part of Tokusatsu's...
I know, but why? Like...
Look! Ishinomori created both Sentai and Kamurata. Kamurata's first villains are Shoko, which are a Nazi offshoot who literally want to find Hitler's treasure and shit. Sentai's first villain is the Black Cross Army. Like, they don't fucking mess around with this.
Yeah, and
it's
she is
Nazis.
She is wearing an Iron Cross also.
Yeah.
Like, so she's not wearing a swastika, but like you get the idea.
Shoko's symbol is literally like the Nazi eagle.
Yeah.
The Nazis, like.
So they transform at this point, they're in a quarry now, which
just
again,
sure.
I love. I also, quarry. I love that it takes them also, like the enemies, which is great.
Where the fuck are we?
And also, at this point they do like the roll call that you get, Red, apparently this is something he does throughout the series.
Literally
just goes, Bon Bon is my favorite, Deca Ranger?
Yep, Deca Ranger.
I guess that's the pose that Bon Bon does in that show, and apparently he just always does that when they do this. He just picks a ranger that he likes and does their pose.
Because he's so fucking unoriginal.
Yeah. Yep. And Blue is just like, I'm a
Cuba
Blue, and like she puts her dukes up.
Yeah,
it's great.
And Yellow, fucking Yellow.
I'm Yellow. Yeah.
Tries to say an anecdote about Comiket.
Yeah, is it like see me at Comiket? Like,
yes, yeah.
She's advertising herself.
She's advertising
a brand every single chance she gets. What if these villains survive and they're like, hey, she was pretty cute. I want to look her up.
Yeah, exactly.
The villainess, though, is thoroughly unamused and just wants to get on with the fight scene.
Don't blame her.
which is what makes her one of my favorite characters, despite the Nazi imagery.
I love so.
Despite? What are you talking about?
So Red keeps like posing, and he's like, "Strike a pose." And I love this because Yellow, at this point, has basically picked up that Blue does not know how to do this, and runs over and whispers in her ear to explain. Like, okay, you need to pose now.
Yeah. And,
smile and, for the camera.
And Yellow and Red do a impromptu, coordinated, like, pose and twirl around.
Like, Blue tries to follow along.
And Blue just tries, and it's adorable.
She's like, well, apparently this is happening, so I may as well just let it.
And so, of course, the colored explosions appear. Red plays it cool. Yellow is super excited, and Blue has no.
What the fuck is that?
Yeah, Blue is just freaked out.
Yeah, Blue is really startled.
Yeah, Yellow is like, it's so pretty.
But my favorite thing though is that the debris from the colored debris like falls on the villainess's head.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty great. And she's like, wait, you're unofficial? You're just knockoffs? Because he yells, "Unofficial Sentai Akiba Ranger." And he's like, "You shut up, who are you?" she throws her business card, and...
like a shuriken.
Yeah, and Blue catches it. And they're Guerrilla Marketing Firm Z, which is a great name for... oh, man. And, yeah, she says, blatantly evil Guerrilla Marketing Firm Z. She says she's the chief of urban development, which I don't quite get that reference.
No, they're a real estate company.
Oh, like, okay.
And the my favorite thing about this is that it's not actually a front. They're actually a real estate company. Because if you pay attention, you notice that she's actually the development manager or something like that. Oh, God, and true. The monster is her subordinate. And then they pull out the mooks, and they're all
salary men.
Yes, salary men.
With shitty masks. Uh-huh. And she calls them sacrificial corporate drones, which is really good.
And then, I like how her, like,
biting social commentary right in the middle of our parody show.
Yeah, totally. And also their weapons are, like, snow shovels and just, like, bats and stuff.
And her subordinate has an incredibly unwieldy name.
Oh, God, what is his name? Like,
his name, he says,
Shibuya Seitaka Iwadachi So Higanaga Aburamushi.
Yes. It's pretty great. And they, so at this point they fight and, by that I mean Blue kicks the shit out of all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where Red and Yellow just kind of cower in the background.
She literally does a Hurricane Rana on one of them.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, yes, Blue, you are the best.
Yeah. And she's like, I'm landing all my moves perfectly. And Red is like, don't let your guard down, Blue. We may have dealt with the mooks. And I'm like, dude, you're taking a lot of credit here. So they go to fight the actual monster and they just shoot him, which is
they just
great.
Pull the finishing move.
Yeah, they just pull an Indiana Jones, like, can I just shoot the fucker?
Yeah, but the corporate drones sacrifice their lives.
Also, the finisher is called Moe Magnum, which is really funny. But then the monster is like, wait, you can't just use your finishing move. Like, that's not how it works.
It's against the goddamn rules. The standards here.
Yeah, and like Mitsuki keeps getting annoyed that, like, Akagi keeps calling her Blue instead of by her actual name. It's like, I have to do this. This is
and
how
he's
it works.
Like, no, in your name, when you're transformed, Blue is your name. But then he's like, though, after Five Man, they kind of stopped doing that. Like, and he's just...
What I kind of love, though, is that this is actually like his one moment of practicality, because imagine you are fighting a bunch of supernatural villains while you're clad in some sort of armor suit. Are you actually going to call each other by your real name so they can just look at stuff on Facebook later?
Yeah, there's really no reason to do that. So at this point, they start fighting the monster, who kicks both the girls in the butt, and they fly onto the ground with their skirts up in the air, which, okay.
Yeah.
I guess that's
what I love, hard. Because all it does is just show more armor.
Right.
Oh, yeah, there's no actual skin. That's the thing you have to remember. It's just armor. Like...
They keep doing panty shots, but it's just the exact same as if they hadn't. Like, there's no... It's pretty funny.
The Baroness is watching them. I'm just going to call her the Baroness.
I mean, that's what she looks like. Yeah.
And, she's watching and, like, laughing and, like, ha, 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 ha. We're totally going to win. And then... Maybe my favorite gag in the entire episode happens, and, like, there's a pause, and then, like, she makes the I'm getting really chilly motions, because, like, she's not wearing a whole lot.
Yes, yeah.
And then she kind of just walks away. It's like, well, you can handle the rest.
I love that thing so much, because that was the first thing that I thought of when I saw her actual outfit. I was like, my God, that looks really uncomfortable and really chilly.
It's also another fucking Sentai deep cut, because, like... They always start Sentai in winter. It always, like, chronologically starts during the winter months. And you see, if you, like, look at behind-the-scenes stuff, as soon as the actors are done filming, like, they have a whole team of people coming with parkas and hot drinks because it's fucking cold. And they're filming in the wilderness. Like, this shit is bad.
Because if you're not aware how Sentai works in Japan, is they film 60 episodes. Is it still 60, or did they cut it down?
It's around, like, it's because it's basically one a week, so it's around 40 to 52.
Okay. So like 40 to 52 episodes every year, and they just fucking crank them out. And the second that one ends, the next week they start airing the new one. And so they have to, like, yeah, when they start filming, it's always the same time of year, and it's always cold because they never stop making Sentai. So, yeah, which led to our realization that we would literally never actually finish our show, but whatever.
4 years, baby! Like, yeah. You're gonna keep making this shit.
So she says she's gonna leave, and Red goes, haha! Oh, I'm sorry.
Aha, is this our chance?
Yeah. They do fight quickly. It's not really worth describing, except for Yellow's attempt to attack, which is that she grabs a rock and runs up to him and yells, smash, 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 and
hits nothing.
And hits him on the back, and it does nothing. And he turns around to face her. There's a pause, and she yells, smash, 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 and tries it again. And then he just kicks her and, like, knocks her away.
And I love that even after the fight, when they're all sitting around at the sunset waiting for the giant version to show up, she's still throwing fucking rocks.
Yes. Yeah. So he says, oh, she said she's leaving. Now we can defeat him. Because it triggers the flag for the Monster of the Week's defeat. And I was just like,
it's true.
Yeah, and then they all do, like, flying jump kicks.
Yeah.
Yeah, and of course the monster's just like, what the hell is this? Are you serious?
Which
bullshit.
I love that he knows the tropes, but the monster doesn't. But the commander seems to. So it's like, it's pretty funny. Yeah.
So after kicking him three times, they use the Moe Magnum again, and this time it's got a fancy CGI sequence associated with it.
Yes.
Where they're, like, in a fancy space tunnel.
See, it's the case where in Super Sentai, if they use a finisher and there's nothing, like, super fancy about the special effects, it's probably going to fail. If there's super fancy special effects, it might just work.
Also, Blue points out that they haven't gotten any stronger, but they're winning now. And Yellow says, only nerds care about the concept of consistent power level.
you know what I really like to imagine about this entire show, and especially this episode in particular, is the entire sequence where the manager is driving around looking for the different Rangers. I really like to imagine that also occurred for the villains.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And it's none of them have any idea what the fuck they're doing either, but they're still showing up.
Yeah, and then he gets murdered with Moe Magnum. Poor guy.
Yeah, like as he's exploding, Red and Yellow know what to do. They turn around, but Blue is still looking at him and like is wondering why they're turning their backs on the explosion.
Yeah, they've posed with their guns up in the air, and Blue's just staring at it. And then it explodes.
She doesn't realize that cool guys don't look at explosions.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Now Red says, well, it looks like we beat him, but he's going to return as a giant. And Blue's like, wait, why? Because that's how it works. Again, that's one of Super Sentai's
tropes.
Yeah,
and then we have to beat him in a giant robot. And then the commander comes on via their ZQ and is like, we don't have a giant robot yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not in the budget.
So at this point, they just sit around on a cliff and wait for it to become giant.
And it never does.
It never does. And we get a shot of, like, this is sort of super adorable, actually. Blue and Yellow just have their feet hanging over the rocks, just kicking their feet in their full Sentai outfits.
Yeah.
It's just weird seeing anyone in a Sentai outfit, like,
acting casual.
Yeah,
acting like a human being. Yeah. Yeah. It's why in Power Rangers, when they start having the suits and letting the American actors be in them, even though they're not, like, you know, kicking it easy, they're not constantly posing, so it looks really strange. Because they're just, like, standing and delivering lines.
It just looks like Halloween costumes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like...
So...
That's one of the things that I really love about this show, too, is that Red isn't right about everything. Despite being the super mega Sentai fanboy, he's not right about everything. And that keeps a little bit of element of a surprise in the show. So you always wonder, like, yeah, this is the trope, but are they actually going to play it straight this time?
Yeah. So they teleport back to the cafe somehow.
And like the maid who got kicked out is like, hey, you saved us. The shop's back to normal. Thank you.
Because, yeah, she's just totally fine now after collapsing in the street. Sure.
Yeah.
Red's like, we'll visit sometime.
Because he probably will.
Yeah.
So they go back. Oh, God. Yeah, that's true. So he runs back to, or they all run back to the cafe, at which point Red's like, I guess my delivery job keeps me in really good shape. And manager's like, no, no.
You don't need legs in a delusion.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so this is the point at which it is revealed that none of this was real.
And Red is just crushed. His soul
is
crushed.
Yeah, he's very sad, which... And she says, I love that she says, yeah, especially the enemies are especially.
I love how when she's breaking the news to him, like she's got like putting a glass to her face, like an empty drink glass, as if she was about to go get like a bunch of bourbon to pour into it.
Yes.
Yep, pretty much.
So Red falls to the ground and says, what is going on? And I am also like, I don't understand what's happening.
Yeah, and then the end credits just have like a bunch of photographs of kids with like buying
merchandise,
Akiba Ranger merchandise,
model kits, and like
making fan art with crayons.
Yeah,
toys. Now the closing theme is something that I haven't watched a ton of Sentai, but this is a sick burn on closing themes for Sentai, because the lyrics are just shooting B-roll footage, and at the very end I slip and fall, and it's just like, yep, that is exactly what happens in every Sentai closing. I am staying in character but smiling bitterly.
At least I can succeed in my dreams.
Yes. Oh, God. It's so good. Because, I mean, I don't know if it's all of them, but everyone I've seen literally, like, has nothing to do with the show, and it's just everyone, like, doing pratfalls and smiling and dancing, and it's like...
That or it's dance numbers such as, like, the first Ninja Sentai, like, the ending, the closing credits, it's always... The minion enemies doing a huge choreographed dance number like Stormtroopers, which is
fantastic.
Pretty great. And yeah, then now they've translated to all the cast members doing a dance routine with a song and like a little mini game for kids to play. But also, yeah, the whole smiling while staying in character thing is true, because they don't talk about it a lot. But man, there's some fucked up stories behind the scenes for Super Sentai.
I'm sure. That's like filming that seems
the
really rough.
Red Ranger for Shinkenja, he landed the role of Red Ranger in a Super Sentai, and it went on to become one of the most popular ones, but he was paid so little at the start that his entire diet consisted of just drinking water.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you know, we haven't really talked about it on Teenagers with Attitude, but that is actually mimicked in early Power Rangers. I think they do better now, but like Austin St. John, when he quit, he lived in his van for a while. Like, he did not have any money. And, you know,
so
it was...
David Yost as well. Fuck.
Yeah, we did talk about that. But from what I understand, they've actually... There's a really cute story on Comics Alliance about how the Rangers were chosen for Dino Charge. And the Red Ranger had, like, this big audition... And then he got called back and another one, and they didn't hear anything for like 6 months. And they said, we need you to come in and do like one more read. And he came in and the lines didn't make any sense. And he was like, what the fuck is going on? And then, they handed him like in the scene, he was supposed to open a box, and he opened it and it had a picture of him as photoshopped as the Red Ranger. And it said like, congratulations, you're the new Red Ranger. And so, like, it seems like they've turned that around and made it, like, nice big thing for that stuff.
They've definitely started to get better, especially in Super Sentai. Like, it is just the fact where it was really surprising when the second Ninja Sentai, Hurricanger, every cast member
had such a fucking good time with that, filming that show, that even for, like, live action stage shows in, like, the middle of nowhere, they would just come for that.
Oh, that's
they
cool.
They would always come in. They would always act, no matter what. They were the only Sentai team in Gokaija, the anniversary special, where the entire team appeared because they all wanted to be in it.
Huh. That's cool. Yeah, so like you said, it seems like there is some rough stuff on behind the scenes. You would hope, beyond hope, that these guys who are very clearly like in on the joke and everything were, and also it's like a 15 or no, like 13 episode season. So it hopefully wasn't as like awfully grueling as the other stuff.
I want to kind of put this in perspective because I think it's a very important thing to note that Toei is not just some hack job studio.
No.
Toei is one of the, if not the biggest visual production studio in the entirety of Japan and has been since the early 50s. Like, this isn't just like, hey, this little startup studio decided to make Power Rangers and they hit it big and, you know, they couldn't really pay anybody at first. Like, no. Toei could pay people. Toei made Godzilla.
Right.
Toei made, Leiji Matsumoto.
That was Toho that made Godzilla, right?
That was Toho.
Was it Toho?
Yeah,
Toho. Yeah. But okay, still, well, you're still right, though.
Yeah, like they made fucking Big Bang, and this is a machine to them. Like...
Yeah, and it's that is an interesting contrast because when
Toei could afford to pay their people.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Like that whole Keeper Ranger ending sequence showing like all the merchandising and all like the Keeper Ranger merch and like recipes and stuff. That's a thing where like they print out like newsletters so they can show like parents and kids, hey, do you want your bento meal to look like Kamen Rider Forze? Here's a recipe. And you can tell you how to cut out like the meat and rice and beans and like vegetables to make Kamen Rider Forze in your bento. Like,
yeah.
This shit is real. Like,
so that's interesting because the on the other side in Saban, their Power Rangers budget was pretty small at first. It did get bigger, obviously. And then famously, as they waned in popularity, they did have to cut expenses pretty drastically and move to New Zealand to do the shooting. So in that case, it's a little more understandable. But yeah, the fact that the Red Ranger on a Sentai had to couldn't afford food.
Yeah, in 2010. Not yes, that was his first big break role, but motherfucker,
it's the acting equivalent of, oh, if you don't just do it for exposure, you don't really love it. Like that's
that
kind of shit. let me put this in perspective. I actually just looked this up. Just in the 1960s, this is some of the stuff that Toei made. Gekigai no Kitaro, which isn't very big in the West, but is huge in Japan. Mm-hmm. Cyborg 009, which I guarantee you've heard of.
Fucking yeah.
Tiger Mask. And this is just in the 1960s.
Yeah.
We get to the 1970s, and we've got, let's see, Devilman, Mazinger, which is generally regarded as the
Mazinger
anime, which spawned an entire genre that would encompass the next 50 years.
Yeah, the original Super Robot.
Get a Robo. I'm sure you've heard of that. Let's see what else they've got here. Captain Harlock.
Oh, God.
Galaxy Express 999. And this is just up through the 60s and 70s.
Tons of things that are considered genre-defining classics.
Yeah, I'm not going to go through the 80s up to the modern day, because there's no point. Toei had more money than God in Japan.
So by the time
the 1970s
Sentai,
rolled around.
Then they already had a ton of money. So, so that's messed up, but... I the only thing I want to say about this is, if you're listening to this and you, are like pretty much just a Power Rangers person or, you've only seen a little bit of Sentai or maybe none, if this sounds fun to you, like you should give it a shot. You don't have to know anything specific about Sentai. You just need to know the tropes, which if you've been like listening to our show, you'll know them even if you've never seen any Sentai. So it's a really good time. They do a good job of making sure you don't get lost, even if you don't know some of the specifics. And I really enjoyed it. I'm going to try to watch more of it.
Yeah, and I'll totally back you up on that. I have not watched any Sentai whatsoever since, like, the original Power Rangers in the mid-90s. Yeah. It was the only Sentai I ever saw up until I watched Akiba Ranger. It was still really good.
I would be fine doing more bonus episodes about Akiba Ranger.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, same, I'd be up for that.
I mean, in the second episode, they finally get their mecha.
They do.
It's like a hatchback, right? That turns into
an anime car.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty great.
It's Natasha. It's so good.
Yeah, I'll be up for that. I don't know when, but we'll definitely try to do that because this thing is really,
and the Baroness reveals her adult video roots as well.
Yeah,
I forgot that they actually bring that into the show.
Oh man, okay. But yeah, so
you've watched guys shoot giant loads on my face. Now watch me shoot giant loads at the Power Rangers.
Oh Jesus!
I can hear Dustin's face falling from here.
Dustin, stop it!
Zach, you're coming.
So, this has been an episode, a bonus episode, an unofficial episode of Teenage with Attitude. I have been your host for this, Dusty.
I've been Zach.
Yeah, and I love the fact that this is called Teenagers with Attitude when we're both like 28.
Oh, listen, this is accurate to the actual show in which there are also no teenagers. So
yeah, we pretend to be teenagers.
I don't know. How do we end these things? Oh, may the power protect you always. Because I have a lot of friends who are into it, I have, like, really specific deep knowledge. Like, I was a high schooler who had a lot of female friends who were deeply into yaoi, so I can tell you all kinds of shit about that. But,
gravitation.
Oh, so you know, like, all the plot points about Ouran High School Host Club.
I don't know that much. It's kind of like
I do!
Was it, Mike, T-Dot was asking me, like, why is the "but we're both boys" thing so common in yaoi? And I was like, because yaoi's mostly for ladies. Like, there's another genre that's actually for gay dudes. And he was like, oh, wait, why do you know that?
Yaoi still makes me laugh because yaoi's here are, like, part of our Aboriginal, like, mythical creatures. So, and we had a whole, like, chocolate line based on them called Yaoi Power.
Oh my god, what?
So yeah, that was pretty great. And
wait,
people go,
so Yaoi used it as a noun for like a pretty boy, basically.
No, Yaoi here, like, in Australian, like Aboriginal, like, Dreamtime storytelling. Oh, it's like, it's like an actual, like, giant swamp creature.
Okay, I was confused.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah,
but
that's
it's spelled differently. It's spelled like Y-O-W-I-E, but it's pronounced yaoi, so it's like yaoi power. It's like, oh, god damn it.
Man, now I want to see, like, two swamp monsters totally going bro-sex.
Just doing it? Yeah.
You can find that. I'm pretty sure.
I was
going to
say,
I'm
pretty sure.
I'm on Google right now, bitches.
Yeah.
I can make this happen if
search
it doesn't
exist. Search Danboru for Swamp Thing.
All I know is I've seen a porn of a lady having sex with three pterodactyls, so you can find whatever you want.
Tame. What? Link me right now.
I don't know if I can find it now.
My spank bank needs new stuff.
God. The best part about that one is
I both love and hate that you call it that.
But
The best part about that porn is that you can hear the director telling the pterodactyls to remember to flap. Like, from
that's amazing!
Fuck!
That sounds like the room of porn! Like, that's amazing!
More than anything right
oh
now.
Oh my god.
Here you go.
Oh, I'm so glad I got yeah, this on a recording.
Oh my god!
Thank you for just linking a Pornhub link in my Skype chat.
Hey, Dustin, whose fault was it that I was driving somewhere and then all of a sudden on my phone, Skype told me that I had Lamia porn?
Oh my god,
sure it was wasn't even porn. It was like a hug pillow.
Of course it has a JJ.AM watermark. Of course it does.
Oh, Lord. This has gone off the rails and I haven't even started recording yet.
Well,
I have started recording, but not officially.
Oh, good. I'm really happy about that.
God, this chick moans like a cat. What the fuck?
I mean...
Okay, now I have to listen to it. Fuck.
Oh, no.
Boys. Okay, sure.
I'm happy to be here.
Oh, hey, no.
So.
Dude, these are the worst pterodactyls ever. They really don't flap at all.
That's what I'm saying. They're not good at it. So now we're just all watching a porn together in a Skype chat.
This isn't weird or anything.
Hi, Megan. I'm Zach. How are you? It's nice to meet you.
This is how Zach just introduces himself at every conversation. Hey, how's it going? Check out this link.
That pterodactyl's doing that lady in the butt.